You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into the Hump Day Hotline on the Buffalo Rumblings Vodcast Network. I am your host. I'm the host of the Hump Day Hotline. My name is Joe Miller, and Jay Spence the King is not going to be joining us this evening. Instead, I have sitting in that seat over there a man by the name of Steve Vega, who is also a content creator for Buffalo Rumblings. Steve Vega, say hi.
How's it going, guys? So happy to be here. It's my first day on the Hump Day Hotline as a guest. This is literally the most amazing thing that's happened since I started this podcast. Thank you, Joe.
I don't think it's the most. I'm sure there's more amazing things that have happened besides that. But I definitely appreciate it. Before we get started and before I allow you to introduce yourself, again, welcome, everybody. Please do me a favor. We are, whatever platform you're on, please like and subscribe. If you're on YouTube, click the little bell. That way you'll actually get notifications for whenever Rumblings is going to be doing a live show. And you'll find out if Steve ever does a live show, you'll find out because it'll pop up and say, hey, Buffalo Rumblings is live and it's the Buff Hub show. Also, we are Super Chat Live. So if you want to stop us and have a conversation, if you want to be a part of the conversation, please feel free to Super Chat us. But it is Hump Day. So as we like to say on Wednesdays, hump that like button. So jump on the like button. I've got six likes on YouTube right now. So I need some more of that. But all that being said, getting through all that intro, tell everybody about yourself. So you have been on The Time to Shine, I think twice, right? Were you on The Time to Shine twice?
Yeah, I had to, man. I love The Time to Shine. It was after the games and I think it was pregame, right?
Before the game, Saturdays. Yep,
Saturday night. Yes, pregame. And I got so hyped for it every single time because I felt like we just had a chemistry about the build up to the game and we had very similar points just in our heads and they would just come out when we were talking to each other. I thought that was the coolest thing. So I kept wanting to join whenever I got the chance. And ever since then, I have realized that Joe Miller is the king. There are two kings.
Oh, Jay Spence is the king.
Okay, the title. You're killing my point here, Joe. There are two kings in separate countries that habituate in Buffalo Rumblings world, and you are one of them. And ever since I've had the chance to collaborate you, it's you're just so easy to talk to.
Appreciate that.
You bring the best out of someone. Every single time I see you talk to someone, doesn't matter who it is, you always bring the best out of them. And heck, if I have a good point, you make it feel even greater. So there's
you are,
that.
You are too kind. I do get told often that I'm very easy to talk to, that people just feel like it, as you said, that it goes easy when they talk to me, whether it's in an interview or in a conversation form, which this is a conversation show, not an interview, but I appreciate it. You are far too kind. Let's do this. So before we get started, why don't you tell everybody about your show, when it drops, how long you've been doing it? Because you were a part of Rumblings long before I was. Like, I just joined Rumblings, I think it's just about a year ago, almost exact. I don't know what my Rumblings anniversary is, but we're close to it. So tell everybody about yourself.
I feel like I'm actually on the eve of a 2-year mark here. And it blows my mind because I literally started a no-name podcast of being a Buffalo Bills fan. And I just literally would talk to my brother from Kenmore. Oh. And we would just talk about the Bills. And, you know, it was on the Anchor app. Now I'm kind of tracking back and remembering.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And then literally I remember messaging Matt Parrino. And ever since I got in contact with Matt Parrino, it really started to interest me about, wow, like how fascinated I was on how united truly the fan base is when someone who is that much in the trenches is willing to listen to what you have to say, come on your podcast that no one's listening to. And then bada bing, bada bang, Buffalo Chicken Wing, Anthony Marino, Jamie D'Amico, and all these guys started to allow me to interview them. And
Anthony, who's in the chat, by the way. So,
Ant, I love you. That's Uncle Ant right there. And you know, they saw something in me, and I'm still trying to figure out what that is. But and look, I've been embraced by this community with Bills Mafia fans, and embraced by the family that is Buffalo Rumblings, and it's been so cool. Like, I used to have like a Buffalo emblem. Like, I got to send you the picture. It's hilarious. Yeah, and my buddy, who like just, you know, he's a manic drawer artist. Like, he drew like a duck face on it, like a mask, a duck mask on it. And it was almost like, yeah, like, you know, we're always jibber jabbering. I just felt like the idea to me sounded really cool. We have so much to say,
right?
As Bills fans. And I just literally, like, that's the bottom line. Buff Hub is a voice for you fans. And I know as this continues to evolve, right, I hope that I can get even more in sync with other fans and whatnot. I've had a lot of cool experiences thus far. And I would say number two, aside from number one tonight, is when I was able to call Stevie Johnson and he was just riding in his Bugatti and we FaceTime on my podcast. That was cool. and that was cool. Number two, you know, so it was really awesome. It was like kind of the pinnacle of like, wow, I guess I made it into podcasting.
Yeah, the king is in the room. So just so you know,
love you, Jay. Happy to do it whenever you need me to, brother.
Yeah. Super good. It's funny because what you just said resonates with me. So my show was birthed out of the Overreaction show was birthed out of the same kind of premise that I just felt like between WGR 55 and just some other voices that were out there back in 2019, when I started, that there was nobody that was, my voice wasn't being represented. Not that it was completely different than everybody else's. I just felt like I felt like there was a lot of people that thought like I thought, if that makes any sense in the world. Yeah. And I feel like my show is I am every fan, so I'm no better or special than anybody else. I haven't been to the Scouting Academy. I played football in the ninth grade or something like that. Like, so I don't have a ton of like playing experience. I don't understand breakdowns and film sessions and things like that. I see things, and Fina talks about this all the time. Like, when I observe something, and he's like, no, you're right, you're dead on, what you're thinking right now is like, that's not right. So if I see something wrong, he says, you're right, that's not right. So but for all intents and purposes, I mean, I'm just here to connect with every other fan, every other member of Bills Mafia. That's probably why we kind of jive as well as we do, is because our shows are similarly concepted, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good to have Jay Spence in the room. Jay Spence, we love you, we appreciate you, dude. And we're gonna miss you. It'd be great to have you here tonight, but you're not here, and that's fine. But let's get this show kicked off. And the first place that we want to start, and it was actually the header of the show, if you will, as far as what I titled the show, and it was basically Gabe Davis futures. So if you think about, you know, the stock market and things like that, and buying futures, you know, are you betting on it to win? Are you betting on it to lose? Are you buying? Are you selling? And we've heard the buy sell thing on ESPN for baseball, and we've heard it on football as well. But Gabe Davis is sliding into the wide receiver two role opposite Stephon Diggs. What we want to talk about, and I'd love to see some conversation in the chat as well, are we buying or selling on his abilities to solidify that spot in the offense, in this offense, in 2022? And as an aside, I'd like to talk, if we can, if we get there, if we have time, just about what his role, how that's going to affect the other guys, Jameson Crowder, Isaiah McKenzie, whoever the third guy is going to be, whether that's, you know, Khalil Shakir, or if that's going to be Isaiah Hodgins, or if it's going to be somebody else. But heck, at this point, it could be touchdown Jesus for all we know, who's going to slide into that third role. But real quick, what are your thoughts as far as Gabe Davis? Are you buying? Are you selling? What are your thoughts, feelings on that?
This comes down to Ken Dorsey. So from my perspective, I don't think this is going to be a run heavy offense at all. I think this is going to be, we're going to pass this football 35 to 40 times, no matter what, every single game.
Wow.
15 of those passes, they're targeting Gabe Davis. And I believe he's earned it. I believe that the Bills are also in position to take the risk on giving him a shot now. They did the experiment with veteran wide receivers at number two. It doesn't work. What they need to do, and they know now, is they need to invest, like the stock market, into these young guys and give them a chance when the lights are the brightest to shine. And I get, like, I've had to wrestle with this for literally the entire offseason. oh, if Tyrann Mathieu was there, you know, he wouldn't have set that playoff record with four touchdowns.
Yes,
no.
Yes,
the fact is, he executed in the playoffs at Kansas City, hostile environment.
Right.
He caught the football, and he literally dug the Bills out of a rut when they were down double digits on a freaking 70-yard bomb. Who else was going to do that? Stephon Diggs didn't do it. Isaiah McKenzie didn't do it. Emmanuel Sanders didn't do it. You know, playoff Jesus didn't do it. He did it. Mm-hmm. So what else do you need from him to let him slide in? He's not asking for wide receiver one. He's asking for, hey, this is how I see it. Give him 4 weeks.
Mm.
Tell him this is the bar you need to hit. And if he hits it, leave him there. Because we need a successor groomed right now to replace Stephon Diggs. When Stephon Diggs gets older, and we need a guy to slide in, when Stephon Diggs hypothetically would pull his hamstring, who do we have?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, there's a point, and Jay Spence and I talk about this all the time. There's a point where, you know, Josh Allen is going to have to make the guys around him better. Regardless, I don't know that Gabe Davis is necessarily being groomed in his third season to be the replacement for Stephon Diggs. You know, Stephon Diggs is what, he was born in 1993. How old does that make him? So he's 29.
He's 31. Well. Yeah,
29.
He's 29, excuse me.
Yeah, 29. So, I mean, for all intents and purposes, when you think about that, I mean, he just signed a four-year contract, a four-year extension. You know, to me, Gabe Davis is going to be here potentially. He's got 2 years left on his contract right now. And if he plays well, I mean, it's going to behoove the Bills to re-sign him. I don't know that he's necessarily the guy that replaces your wide receiver Stephon Diggs, and this is where we get lost, and this was the conversation back in 19. This was one of those parts for me where I felt like my voice wasn't really out there. There were people screaming just about some of the guys that were on this roster that could potentially be wide receiver ones, Robert Foster and guys like that. And I was like, Robert Foster is not a wide receiver one. Be like, why? How do you know? Maybe you just should just give him a chance. And I'm like, he's not a wide receiver one. And when we got Diggs, I think maybe 20 was when the rumor started, right? Was it 2020? Or no, it was before that. It was 19 when the rumor started that we traded for him in 2020, coming into the 2020 season. Mm-hmm. It was obvious immediately that Stephon Diggs was a wide receiver one. It was an immediate, oh, that's what one looks like. Because we haven't – I love Stevie Johnson. Stevie Johnson is not Eric Moults. Stevie Johnson is not Andre Reed. Stevie Johnson is not Jerry Butler from the early 80s when I was a kid, the first, you know, player that I was a huge fan of growing up as a little kid. You know, Stevie Johnson was great, and he did something that no other Bills wide receivers had done, which is three consecutive 1,000-yard seasons, he's not Stephon Diggs. And I don't know that Gabe Davis is Stephon Diggs either. So I don't know that they're grooming him to be a wide receiver one. I think that might end up having to be, could be. I'm not saying it's outside the realm of possibility. He could be, but maybe. I mean, I just don't see that.
I stand on the grounds that needs to be how they set the bar, though, right? Because we can't have this roster of a mentality that, you know, one guy goes down, okay, we're out of the playoffs. Like, Gabe Davis, I believe, has the potential to take over a game.
Right. Well,
and that's what a wide receiver one can do, although he is designated as wide receiver two.
Great conversation. He has the ability to take over a game when Stephon Diggs is drawing double teams and triple teams. So we haven't seen him in a situation where he's drawing all the attention.
Yes.
But sorry, my mom is freaking out about somebody posting porn in the chat. So, Mom, it was. My mom watches this show. I don't know what to tell you. Spence loves it that she watches it. We hit it and we've blocked them. So they can't post anymore. So it happens. There's nothing we can do about it. It's just one of those things. Jay Spence, the King, actually comes in and he says, I think we love him, Gabe Davis, so much that we are trying to put him into a superstar role. He's very good, but he has to show more for me to say that he's a superstar. And I think that's what it is. I think he's a benefactor or has been. Now, I'm going to correct myself. I don't want to, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to diminish what he's done and who he is, because there's a lot of wide receivers out there that are number two, number three, number four guys. Emmanuel Sanders was on that football team last year too, when he caught four touchdowns in that playoff game. And Emmanuel Sanders was borderline invisible. So there's an aspect to he was getting open. He was beating his man. He was finding the holes in the defense, and Josh found him and threw him the ball, and he caught them. There's a lot of wide receivers. We have seen them. You know, Kelvin Benjamin, that don't make those catches. Well, the ball hits him in the hands, and they Dawson Knox at times is starting to run before he secures the catch. I don't want to diminish what he's done. I don't want to diminish the fact that he knows every position for, you know, in that room as far as the wide receivers. And I've heard this from a player, that what the Bills appreciate, the coaching staff appreciates, at least Dable, when Dable was there, obviously Ken Dorsey is the offensive coordinator now, is they appreciate a guy that knows all of the positions. So Stephon Diggs is the X. That's what he plays. He doesn't move from the X. He's the X. I'm not saying he doesn't know the other positions, but we don't see Stephon Diggs really in the slot a whole lot. We don't see him at the Y either. Gabe Davis knows all of those positions. And I think that gives him a little bit of a head up on some people, but it definitely puts him in a situation to benefit, because he knows the playbook, which I have also been told is incredibly complex. This stable playbook is like stupidly. I thought I blocked them, but apparently they're showing up again. Somebody else blocked them. I don't know why that's happening. So for those of you that are in the comments section, I don't know why this dude is like posting porn in our chat, but it is what it is. He needs to be posting pictures of the Bills players, because that's the only porn that we want to see. So I don't want to diminish that. I just, for me, there's just an aspect of, I'm not sure that it'll be interesting. We're going to find out at some point. I'm sure Stephon Diggs at some point in time is going to miss a football game or two. And it's going to put a lot of that onus on Gabe Davis and who comes up behind him. So who slides into the Y? Does Jameson Crowder go to the Y? I don't think so. Jameson Crowder is a slot guy. Obviously, Khalil Shakir is a rookie. We don't know what he's going to necessarily bring to the table. We can talk about that in a minute. You've got guys on this team like Isaiah Hodgins. You've got guys on this team like Marquez Stevenson. So there's some question marks out there even still. I'm buying. So all that to say, I'm buying into Gabe Davis as the Y, as the second boundary receiver. I'm absolutely buying into him. And a lot of that is because of just the magic that we've seen from him when it comes to toe touching the sidelines, getting open, finding the spaces in the defense. Clearly, Josh trusts him. I felt like last year his targets, his catches, his activity inside of, or his production inside of this offense was diminished wildly because of Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, when you've got a guy that's probably going to wear a gold jacket on your team at an old age, you're going to put him in the lineup, and you're going to tell Gabe, second year player, probably to take a little bit of a seat. Obviously, his production picked up towards the end of the season, but I'm buying into it. I don't want to say that I'm not buying into it. Yeah. I just, to Spence's point, I think there's a pumping of the brakes. Like this is a big year for him. Don't you think this is a big year?
It's a huge year, but I also think that a lot of the reason why his stock may not be, a lot of people may not be buying into it, it's not his fault. I mean, you have to let the guy do his thing. You got to get him opportunities. You got to get him involved into what the Bills are trying to accomplish, not just, throw him in there when all else fails. This is a year where they're not doing that. And that's what I love about it. But I also have seen plenty, even since UCF, that I say to myself, and it's funny, I was watching a documentary with him and Brandon Marshall, and Brandon Marshall is literally just, he's with him for like 30 minutes in this documentary with Gabe Davis. And he's literally saying, guys, what I see from him as a wide receiver, I've been in forever.
Right.
He is innately doing things, reacting to things that a receiver in the NFL, he's not even in the NFL yet, it would take them four seasons to do.
And we're
starting to see the fruits of what he's about. And I think that's the thing about it. I not only buy into him as wide receiver too, I buy into the stock of his future development. And to be that guy that if we have a crucial game coming up, we can rely on him. Mm-hmm. And I hope that this is the season by week 7 or week 8, we're looking at him and we're saying, wow, the Bills drafted great and they finally developed a wide receiver. I mean, who's another wide receiver the Bills have developed?
Stephon Diggs. Stevie, I mean, there's a lot of guys out there that we love, right? So Daniel Jones, Daniel Jones was one, or David Jones. The tall guy, lanky guy, played the slot for the Bills in Nelson. David Nelson, right? And then Daniel Jones. Who was actually, I think he was on Buffalo Radio for a while. Actually, he was on with Steve Tasker, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, there's some guys that we love that didn't pan out when they went someplace else. But, I mean, Stevie, who was a seventh round pick out of Kentucky, right? Who else are you thinking about that? I mean, I don't know. Eric Molds, I mean, obviously was developed.
The list is very thin. And so you look at
Donald Jones.
I talk about sustained success.
Yep. Donald Jones, not Daniel.
Donald Jones, yeah.
I was close. I was close.
Sustained success comes from having the bar up here. You look at what Pittsburgh did for so many years behind Hines Ward. Look at all of those. Emmanuel Sanders came from that group.
Yeah, but
you know, Wallace came from that group. Plenty of players came from that group.
So did Antonio Brown. So the question is, Hines Ward was there before Roethlisberger. So there's an aspect of like Hines Ward teaching Roethlisberger how to be a quarterback, which we've seen Stephon Diggs do. When Stephon Diggs got here, there was a huge emphasis with him and Josh Allen about stopping, slowing down. This is what I'm going to do. This is where I want the football, blah, 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 which that's a huge part of Josh Allen's arc. After that, there was a lot of Ben Roethlisberger developing wide receivers because those guys, whether it's Chase Claypool, whether it's Antonio Brown, whether it's the guys that you talked about, there's a lot of wide receivers that are in that chain.
Juju. I mean, no one wants to admit that he's great, but Juju, if he was in Buffalo, we'd love him, right?
I don't know.
I'm not saying last year Juju, but I'm saying like
before that, sure.
Yes.
For sure. Robert Woods is another one. Daniel Gowrie's just put Robert Woods in the chat that was developed, not developed, but the Bills drafted and he kind of became something, which is good. Great. It's a riveting conversation as far as just who made who, chicken or the egg. But I feel like Josh Allen by the time Stephon Diggs retires, Josh Allen is going to be in that mold of Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. I made Jake Kumerow good. Julian Edelman was bad, but I'm sure that Julian Edelman had he been drafted by the Dolphins or had been drafted by the Browns wouldn't have been Julian Edelman, right?
Right.
Devontae Adams wasn't exactly a first round draft pick. Did he have all the talent and the raw skills to do what he's doing? Yes. How much did Aaron Rodgers play into that?
We're about to find out a lot.
But it seems like that trajectory, once a wide receiver finds it and understands what a quarterback needs from him and an offense needs from him, it becomes innate in their skill set versus guys that just never really find it, right? But Gabe Davis it's going to be fun to watch what he does this year. I'm a huge Gabe Davis fan, right? I mean, I think we all are. It's going to be interesting. What do you think from a production standpoint? What do you think he's going to be doing this year numbers-wise?
Numbers-wise, I think that if Ken Dorsey sticks to his guns and really decides to make Josh Allen sling it all year, I see him peaking right over 1,000 yards.
Wow.
Having 4 to 5 touchdowns. Having really great games and then just having consistent 70-yard, 60-yard games, stuff like that. Right. I'm not going to say he's going to be able to take over every single game because we know whose role that is.
It's Steph.
Yeah. And I think you look at past years, the Bills have relied heavily. And this is the thing, right? They're going to have to figure out how to get creative with this wide receiver group. Because Cole Beasley, you knew what he was going to give you.
Oh, yeah.
Emmanuel Sanders, to an extent, you knew what he was going to give you. Stephon Diggs, we know that as well. This is where it gets interesting, though, Joe. We have, for the first time, I believe in Bills history, a super dynamic tight end group
with
O.J. Howard and Dawson Knox. That opens up the entire playing field for this offense to do whatever the heck they want at the wide receiver position, in my opinion.
Yeah, and if James Cook is a measure of what we expect him to be, I mean, that provides a matchup nightmare anywhere he is, which is a big part. So Jessica Tennis says, from a production standpoint, she's expecting 12 touchdowns out of Gabe Davis. That's a big number. That's a big number. What did Knox have last year? Did he have 11? I don't remember what the number is. I think he had
I think he might have eclipsed.
He was tied for something in the league for touchdowns. I don't know if it was second or first or whatever, but it's going to be interesting, and it's hard not to root for a guy like that. I mean, Gabriel Davis, just because of where he was drafted, who he is.
9 touchdowns. Dawson Knox, 9 touchdowns, 587 yards.
So 3 more, 12. That's a lot. That's a lot for a wide receiver. Is that not a lot?
Yeah. I mean, that's why I said 4 to 5, just because of, I believe he's going to be that decoy guy here and there to be able to open up the offense.
Yeah, keep talking because Amanda is asking what his numbers were last year. So Amanda, hang on a second.
No, I'll give you last year he had 49 receptions, 587 yards for Dawson Knox.
Gabe Davis.
Oh, Gabe. I mean, Gabe Davis definitely didn't really eclipse too many things as far as his stats last year.
I think his 2020 and 2021 numbers were similar. So as I'm pulling it up, so 2020 versus 2021, he played, looks like 16 games rather. He wears number 13, my bad. Started 11 games in 2020, started 4 in 2021. Again, that was the Emmanuel Sanders effect. And this does not include the playoffs, clearly. 35, this is funny. Targets in 2020, 62. Targets in 2021, 63. Receptions in 2020, 35. Receptions in 2021, 35. 599 versus 549. 549 last year. Touchdowns, 7 versus 6. So yards per target, 9.7, 8.7. So, and that 8.7 is actually Josh changing his game. As we know, last year, he kind of began to focus a little bit more on, you know, being underneath versus always trying to chuck it downfield, which he still had a high percentage of that too. But it's funny how eerily similar those two numbers are. If there's a guy that's ready to take a jump, it's him, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, just the way the offense is formulated with the double tight end set, being able to bring in a really dynamic, guy at the running back position to be able to play action once he gets moving.
Right.
Someone's going to get open.
Right.
It's the tight ends, or it's going to be Stephon Diggs, or it's going to be Gabe Davis. My stock is going into Gabe Davis. People are going to have to pay a lot more attention to him, and he's going to sneak up on people.
It'll be interesting to see how that attention falls, because if James Cook, like I said, is a measure of who we expect him to be and is a weapon, and they start pushing him outside, lining him up in the slot, pushing, you know, putting him out wide, and Gabe Davis is on the field, and then they split him out wide as far as James Cook, where that attention falls, if he can run it, if he can be an effective runner, if this offensive line can kind of come together and put Singletary in a position where he can be effective, or Moss, if you know that he can be effective, it becomes to pick your poison. For sure. Yes. You got to think that you're not going to leave Stephon Diggs single covered, right? Unless you're Jalen Ramsey, which, you know, he obviously scored a touchdown against Jalen Ramsey 2 years ago. So, is it LeSean Lattimore? He had the touchdown last year against Lattimore with that crazy move that he had. It's an interesting conversation. So where did you have him for a production? Did you give numbers or no?
Yeah, I got him at right eclipsing 1,000 yards.
How many catches?
I got him at 4 to 5 touchdowns. And I think the receptions, obviously, they're going to increase, I would say, about 10 or 15 from last year.
Yeah.
But I just feel as though.
So you're saying he's going to have 15 more receptions and 500 more yards?
If he's taking the wide receiver 2 role and he's solidifying himself, absolutely. And because you got to understand what the Bills are trying to do is they're trying to get stronger at who they are. And who they are is in the top 3, the heaviest play-action football team in the NFL.
Right.
And that solely comes from being able to really have a dynamic tight end duo, being able to pitch it, fake the pitch, swing it out. Who's going to get single coverage? Most likely it's going to be Gabe Davis.
Or Jamison Crowder, for sure.
Jamison Crowder as well.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just we have seen – way more out of Gabe Davis than we have out of Jamison Crowder. And now this is when, you know, we're going to have that conversation depending on what McDermott and Ken Dorsey decide to do at that position. But it is going to shock me that in Jamison Crowder's first year with Buffalo on a $4 million deal, takes over that role and we ignore Gabe Davis again. We're wondering when we get to the playoffs, why the offense isn't opening up quick enough. And we need this guy to score 4 touchdowns for everyone to open up their eyes. And he just wasn't lined up on the right side where you saw Tyrann Mathieu typically line up on the field. They were floating him everywhere, and he was making plays.
Well, that's because he knows the whole playbook, which is big. But I don't think it was a matter of ignoring him. He was the third wide receiver. He was wide receiver 3. And they don't exactly run a ton of four. As much as we saw a bunch of 4 wide and 5 wide stuff in 2020, we didn't see a whole lot of 4 wide and 5 wide stuff in 2021. So I think that was more about it. And obviously, last year, we probably could have had, all of us could have had a conversation. If you're going to put a wide receiver on the field, is it Gabe Davis or is it Emmanuel Sanders? I think we're all probably picking Emmanuel Sanders, right? I mean, just veteran experience. He's been to Super Bowls. Like, he's done this forever.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a great problem. It's a luxury to have, but let's do this. Let's, so as much as people are coming in. So Elliot Eisler's in the room. He says 12 TDs breakout season. So that's the second time 12 TDs. Mr. Dick says, wow. I agree. 8 to 9 TDs with 900 to 1100 yards. Woof. Richard Rush says, I can see Davis and Diggs both over. So we've done this several years. So over the last 2 years, we have predicted multiple receivers over 1,000 yards. So if it happens this year, that would be amazing.
Well, Beasley's gone. Who else is going to do it?
Beasley didn't do it. So the question is Jameson Crowder going to get 800 yards in the slot?
But right? Beasley has done it.
As a Bill?
As a Bill, he has eclipsed. I believe it was 2 years ago he eclipsed that mark. I could have sworn I seen it when I was looking at his numbers.
If only Chris Jahnke was in the room, because Chris Jahnke could tell you in about a half a second. Chris Jahnke knows all of these random stats. It's wild. So I can.
We tell got you close. Right. He got close in 2020 at 967. I'm so just saying
that. How are you there before me? How is that even possible? Yeah, he's never had 1,000.
I see it, man. No.
I was going. I have it as well. I was going to say he's never had 1,000 yard season, but I wasn't confident. So
he got damn near close. Really close. In the regular season, and I think when you look at how they're going to start figuring out who to feed the ball to. I mean, the kid earned his fair share of targets, at least going into the 4 weeks of the season.
Right,
we see no production from him, and it is just like the Bills are 2-2, or God forbid they're 1-3 because they're trying to force feed him and he's not executing. All right, then Houston, we have a problem. He's not developing. He's had plenty of time as a Bill to try to figure out how to execute. Right. I am just on the boat of, it is also the Bills' responsibility to develop him.
No, for sure.
Not just every offseason comes around, a marquee free agent comes out, and let's throw all this money at him at the wide receiver position. We've already done that. Now
made a trade for a guy. We didn't really throw money at a free agent wide receiver necessarily. I mean, we did with Beasley.
Yeah, that's what I meant, though. I mean, we've done that too. I mean, and now he gets his new deal.
Right.
The Bills have a very strong responsibility to develop Gabe Davis. And if they're re-signing Isaiah McKenzie, that means they believe in this group.
Yeah.
And I believe they do have high hopes for what Gabe Davis can do. And I just – the makeup of who he is, how he blends with every personality on this on the offense, it's just like, God, I want to see him succeed so bad. And as a Bills fan, I am hoping that – McDermott and Dorsey hear this plea that this guy needs to get it going for this offense to be juiced up and ready to go against these high powered offenses in the playoffs. I mean, it's going to be huge.
I got bad news for you.
Sanders choked.
They got bad news. They don't watch this show. They don't listen to this show. Yeah, I got bad news for you. Maybe somebody.
Apparently Brandon Bean listens to the Believe podcast. Apparently.
Well, I know that Kim Pegula listens to Locked On Bills with Joe Marino every day. So I know that for a fact.
That's super terrifying. I'm kind of intimidated. If I find out like some random guy who's super high profile in the Bills just listens to my show, it's going to freak me out a little bit.
Well, that's what's hard about all of this, because for all intents and purposes, like I've said that like four times tonight. So I'm going to find a different phrase or a different.
No, I like that. I'm going to scream.
What's hard about this job in general is you want to be objective, and Fina is the king of that. Fina is like, I don't want to disparage a player, but I got to be objective. And I got to say if he was good or bad, or if he won or lost or whatever it is. But what's hard about it is when you do this, you know that certain players watch certain shows or listen to certain shows. And I'm in a situation where I'm running into Bills players all the time. So there's a lot of them that attend the same church that I attend. So I see them on Sundays and it's like, what's up, bro? And we like bro hug and whatever. And it's always my greatest fear that I'm going to say something that maybe one of them doesn't like and they take it personal. And that's the hard part.
They shake your hand a little harder on Sunday.
There's just an aspect of, I just don't want to hurt anybody's feelings by being objective. Right. I mean, it's not personal. It's just, you know, we're just having a conversation about football and about the Bills and
two players. I hope I find out, listen to my podcast, or Gabe Davis and Matt Milano. I want to go. There is a place that I recommend for everyone. If you end up in the Gabe Davis neighborhood, that is Sanford, Florida. I used to go there. I played shows. I was in a band for a while.
Oh, wow. And what'd you play? Singer, drums, bass, guitar? Hold on,
you give me 2 seconds. I'll show you.
Uh-oh. You're not supposed to leave the frame, bro. So Steve Vega has left the frame, and he's pulling out an acoustic guitar, which I can do that.
Whoa, a little telly action?
This is my sixth guitar. It's out of tune. Man, it's wildly out of tune.
All right, that's it. That's all you get. That's all you get.
You've been
never done that.
Bill's Mafia has been teased. So if you want to get smooth jams, tune into the Buff Hub podcast on the Buffalo Rumblings podcast network. But anyways, moving on. So you were saying about being in Sanford, Florida. So you're saying that he does listen to your show, or you want him to?
I hope he does, because I want to grab coffee with him at this record store. I hope it's still there. It's so amazing. It's called Rabbit Foot, and it is a coffee shop. They let people play music there, bands. It's literally the golden nugget. I still jam in Sanford occasionally. Whoa! Well, when I end up back in the zone over there, Elliot, I'll let you know. I'm over in the desert of Las Vegas. So if I get back there, I'm hitting you up, Elliot. But yes, dude, it is so amazing there. Fishing there is awesome.
Yeah.
And it blew my mind away that Gabe Davis is, I don't know, just a low key, like a super Sanford guy. It blew my mind. Yeah, I know where he fishes. I went over that bridge every single day.
He's very chill. That's absolutely true. So let's move on to the second topic of the day, which is that Jordan Poyer has been absent from voluntary OTAs. How concerned are we about his absence, and where does it leave the Bills if he holds out? Now, I want everybody to know the holdout part was his idea. I'm not trying to put bad juju on the Bills or Bills Mafia, but as we were kind of talking about what the topics were going to be for this show, Vega was like, what's it going to do if he holds out? And I was like, no, don't say that. But here we are. So I'm going to let you roll with this one.
What are we supposed to think? Right? What do you want me to think? Like, I'm a Bills fan. Now you're making me truly believe that this is definitely a one-year deal type of league. You're making me feel that way because
it's become that for sure. It's definitely become that.
Yeah. And you're making me feel that if you don't get your long-term deal, you're not going to settle for a one-year deal.
I think
that's my thing that I have.
What's hard about Poyer is that he's blossomed late. Poyer as a Brown was not as good as Poyer is now.
Correct.
And there's always the conversation that the Bills brass are going to have, which is, oh, hey, by the way, the reason you're so good is because of our scheme and because Mike is next to you. If the scheme wasn't the scheme and Micah wasn't next to you, would you be as good as you are now? Poyer may be willing to take that bet, right? So he might be willing, or he might know like how the scheme fits it. So it's Tyler Medicavich. Tyler Medicavich came here to Buffalo as a free agent to play special teams. He played on a 3-4 football team defensively for the Steelers and was horrible, wildly bad. Like whenever he would get on the field as a linebacker, in a 3-4 or a 4-3 scheme, I said 3-4, right? In a 4-3 scheme, McDermott scheme, he actually has played well as a linebacker in this scheme because it fits him. It fits who he is as a player. Now, obviously, we don't want Tyler Medicavich playing. There's a problem if he's playing during the regular season and it's not a blowout and he's playing on the defense. But that's kind of my point. So I wonder if Poyer understands that or if he doesn't. The hard part is we love Jordan. Jordan's freaking phenomenal. You hear in the pressers today, yesterday, they asked Dawkins, they asked Josh, they asked several players, what are your thoughts about Poyer being gone? And they're like, I'm good with it. It is what it is. They asked McDermott, and McDermott, they all said the same thing. Business is business, and this is part of the business. I think they feel like Poyer is great. Poyer deserves to get his last paycheck, if that makes any sense.
Well, my question, Joe, is, did the Bills see this coming? That's what kind of makes me concerned about how they're going to start handling.
There's a domino
effect. There's two tiers of superstars. He's in tier two. We know that. He can't knock someone who is a 6'2 running back.
Wait. So who are the tier one guys?
Tier one is Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs. We know they are guaranteed the long-term contracts. Tier two is the type of guys that if they leave the building, they will get a long-term contract elsewhere. You know, like there's always those kind of guys.
He's not, I mean, as much as I want to say he's not going to get a long-term contract, Von Miller just signed a 6-year contract with the Buffalo Bills and he's older than Jordan. So it's not outside the realm of possibility. It seems like the 1 to 2 years masked as a 3 and 4 year deal is kind of what's in vogue right now in the NFL. And Brandon Bean is kind of like the guy that's pushed that whole like boat down the river as far as what everybody's doing.
I don't
know what the answer he's Jordan Poyer is. He's a first team all pro, right? I mean,
yes, he's a first team all pro. As Bills fans, we believe him to be a superstar. We do.
Yeah.
Because we have seen how he's elevated his game, how he's elevated the team as a defense. Right. We know that.
Right.
But I'm saying from a contract point of view, I'm talking about the media at large. I'm not talking about just Bills media. I'm talking about NFL media, ESPN media.
Right.
Name. He draws in attention type of a guy. He's in tier two.
Yeah, for sure.
He can get that money elsewhere, which is what sucks about the situation, because it looks as though the door is going to close after this year, or you know, maybe it won't. Maybe he'll settle for a deal that could progress into something based off of him elevating his game. Like we can all believe this. That 6-year deal with Von Miller is a 3-year deal, and he is barely getting paid for those first 3 years. We know that. Money's on the back end.
Correct.
I just wonder if Jordan's going to settle for something like that, right?
So you used the term, or you said, I wonder if the Bills knew, right? Yeah. That's what you said. I wonder. So I don't think that they necessarily did. I think there was an aspect to Jordan Poyer, and I'm looking up some stuff right now, just so you know. Yeah. I think there was an aspect of dominoes fell. So it turned into a you're paying all those guys. So the Bills were like, we got to get some stuff done. We got to get Allen done. You know, all these wide receivers that are not as good as Stephon Diggs are making way more money than Stephon Diggs, Christian Kirk.
Yeah.
We got to get Stephon Diggs done, because especially wide receivers, you want to keep them happy, because nobody turns into a diva faster than a wide receiver. And I'm not saying that Stephon Diggs is a diva. It just happens. Right. So there was an aspect of needing to get stuff done. So I think it was just more about dominoes falling, and it was smart on Jordan's part to just be like, hey, don't forget about me. So here's the thing. Jordan Poyer, as per SpotTrack, his calculated market value right now is $10.7 million in an average annual salary. They've got him right around the area of Jimmy Ward, Tyrann Mathieu, Devin McCourty, Adrian Phillips. So Tyrann Mathieu, what did he land? A 3-year, $28 million contract. Average 9.4. The question is if the Bills announced tomorrow, he's got 1 year left on his deal, they give him new money, it's a 2-year extension, giving him 3 years total, and it's worth 28.3. Are we happy about that? Or are we like, man, there's some other guys coming up at Oliver, Tremaine Edmonds. There's some other guys, there's some other names out there.
The Bills don't have a choice because they didn't develop anyone behind him. There's no one who can fill that void right now. Jaquan Johnson is not nearly as good.
Damar Hamlin, Jaquan Johnson and Damar Hamlin have played okay in at the times that they've played, stepped in for Hyde or Poyer. The question is, the funny thing about this defense is it's just like the linebackers. So the Bills play a base nickel 4-2, and they play the way the hybrid safeties work. They're interchangeable, just like the linebackers. The safeties are interchangeable. So I'm not necessarily ready to say that Damar Hamlin or Jaquan Johnson can't – they're not going to play right now necessarily to the level that Jordan Poyer is playing. But can they play to a level that makes this still the number one defense in the league or the number two defense in the league? That's the question.
I think Damar Hamlin is the strongest shot for that. I don't think you throw a guy like Saran Neal back there. We've seen him
trying to
get pigeon-footed, right? And I look at – if they have an affinity for Dane Jackson – and Damar Hamlin, regardless of the situation at large on how long it's going to take to develop and all that jazz. But if we're talking about getting a Super Bowl, you have to re-sign it. There's nobody else in the market.
The window's open. So this year is by and large. I don't know that the window gets wider next year than it is this year. The window is open, especially when you see the retooling and the all out, as I called it, a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, arms race in the AFC West in particular. The AFC is freaking stacked. If the NFC wins a Super Bowl this year, it'll be a miracle, in my opinion. I don't know what NFC team compares to the Raiders or the Chargers, let alone the Bills and some of the other. The Dolphins are stacked. The Jets crushed their draft in one free agency. Like, and then you got the Patriots who still suck. But I mean, it's amazing to me the talent that's in the AFC right now. Sorry.
Yeah, you make a great point. But you make a great point, Joe. But here's the thing. Development wins. I'm sorry. You can sign every superstar you want.
Always.
Look at the Bengals. I still think the Bengals are the second best team in the AFC. I believe it's going to be the Bills and the Bengals in the AFC championship this year.
Wow. Really?
I truly believe that. They got better on the offensive line. No one wants to talk about them.
Yeah, no.
This dude came off an ACL injury with a rookie wide receiver. They figured it out. They signed who they needed to sign at the defensive line. And it's like we're gonna pretend this team did not win the AFC and beat Kansas City twice.
Right.
And the Bills couldn't do that. So my thing is, and they did it at the AFC Championship at Kansas City.
Right.
So if we're gonna sit here and believe that talent is going, you know, signing whoever you need to sign is just going to get you over the hump. I mean, I got news for you. You also have to spend just as much energy and time at developing your players, because we saw how that turned around for the Cincinnati Bengals. And Indeed. So I say this to combine the point. We have Jordan Poyer, right? We have DeMar Hamlin. I think Jaquan Johnson is a guy that you can throw in there to get some experience. I think he's more of a special teams guy. But if we're going to be completely real, we don't have a guy who is developed enough to fill that void that Jordan Poyer will leave.
Agreed. I'm not going to disagree with that. that's my biggest argument about Tremaine Edmonds. Like the idea that, you know, we're going to move on from Tremaine in year five after this season and somehow like find the guy that's going to replace him in the draft or wherever else. I mean, Tremaine is the quarterback of the defense. He's the guy that puts everybody in their place. And while sometimes it seems like his pursuit angles are wrong, you know, the other 80% of the time or 70% of the time, he's also got a lineman draped over him because the defensive line hasn't been necessarily as good as we hope that it's going to be this year. But Jordan Poyer, I don't think he holds out. And that's kind of what this conversation is about. Is he going to hold out? I don't think he's that. I think he sees what's in front of him. So I think he sees what's in front of him. The worst thing that could happen to Jordan Poyer is he holds out and DeMar Hamlin or Jaquan Johnson come in and the Bills are 4-0 after four games. Because at that point, the Bills are like, you can stay out. The Bills just went to the look at the season that the Bills put in post Tre'Davious White getting hurt. Our corners were Dane Jackson, who we love, and Levi Wallace, who we all kind of have an affection for. But they are not by any stretch of the words CB1s. They're probably CB2Bs. They're not. I mean, those guys are not. They're not Kyir Elam at this point, right? So. And the Bills still stacked wins at the end of the season playing those two guys. The worst thing that Jordan Poyer could do is hold out, and then this team is 4-0 or 5-0. And then Jordan's like, can I come back, please? Because I want to win a Super Bowl too.
But here's the thing where the concern comes in. I don't believe he's going to hold out much longer.
Right.
My thing is, how does it then affect the locker room? Here's the thing. He is a very passionate, strong leader.
Indeed.
What happens when a guy like that goes sour?
Well,
that's a guy that you rely on for your morale, your energy before you get into a game to get in the zone. He's the guy who gave the most fiery speech I've ever seen any NFL player do to a rival on a playoff level game and all that crap.
Agreed.
What he did for that defense last year was ignite a fire. I didn't see Micah Hyde doing that. I didn't see Tremaine Edmonds doing that. Last person I seen do that was Kyle Williams.
Kyle was good.
So to lose that morale and igniting factor is huge. That's why I'm concerned about his absence, because I know that's going to do a number on this team. They're going to have to look to someone. I don't know who else is on the roster who can really provide what he provides there.
Well, so Von Miller is on this football team. So what, I mean, he clearly Von isn't the quarterback of the corners, if that makes sense. There's not going to be a lack. Tim Settle's part of the reason the Bills, I think, you know, it's funny because we love these players, Harrison Phillips, right? I think part of the reason that the Bills moved on from Harrison Phillips was not necessarily because they didn't like Harrison Phillips or they didn't feel that he wasn't worth the contract that he got. I think a guy like Tim Settle brings more energy.
Yes.
A guy like, for the same price, a guy like Jordan Phillips brings a lot more energy for less money. I think there was an attitude that they're looking for. So you've got this, you've got these guys that on paper look really, really great, and you're rotating them at 48% or 47% of the time, which I hate, by the way. And there just wasn't enough energy there. And some of that energy could be lost because the guys can't find a rhythm. It also could be lost because, if you remember, and I know you do, the moment that Jordan Phillips got here after being jettisoned by Miami, it was instant energy on that defensive line. I think Kyle was on the team, and it was instant energy with Jordan Phillips on this football team when he got here. It was just, he became a fan, crowd favorite immediately. So there's guys there. Obviously the Jordan Poyer speech, pregame speech you're talking about was just to the cornerback group, was it not? It was not to the entire defense.
Yes, that's correct.
Obviously Von Miller's not going to be over there talking to the corners, but I got to think somebody's out there that's going to step up. It'll be interesting because it's funny because Hyde is a vocal leader. Trey appears to be more of a leader by example, which I don't know that he needs to be more than that. We know nothing about Kyir Elam at this point. You know, Taron Johnson. I don't know. So, I mean, that's probably why Poyer's the vocal guy, the vocal leader.
I think that he adds a different element, being like a smaller, fiery guy. I mean, he's not a defensive lineman. I think those guys, if they got that kind of fiery side to them, I mean, it's going to ignite the entire team. I agree. Jordan Phillips can do that. But here's the thing: you can have that, but you also have to have the play. And I think Jordan Poyer provides that fieriness with his speeches, with how he talks to the players around him, their morale, but he backs it up on the field.
Right.
Sure. And what I want to see is not another Feliciano situation, that we got a fiery guy that isn't backing it up between the whistles.
Right. Yeah, no, I don't. Sorry, I apologize. I got a little distracted just because the porn bot is back. I don't know what this is. It just must be because they must be here because you're so attractive. They're just here.
Oh, God. We had my
They're like, ooh, is that Steve Vega, the military man who lives in Vegas? I mean, those guys might be out there near you somewhere, right?
Please, let's grab some wings and a beer one of these days when we watch a game and let's go. I'm down.
Are you talking to me? Or are you talking about the porn bot?
Not the porn bot.
Well, I love Las Vegas, but yeah, if you're in Buffalo, let me know. So we're about 53 minutes into this thing. So let's do this. Let's end this thing. And it's been a good time. The energy has been great. The conversation has been great. The comment section has been freaking fantastic. It's great to have Pam in the room. So I don't know if you know Pam Madonna, but Pam is awesome. Good thing Joe was on top of that. We've lost half the guy audience tonight. Pam, they've been trolling us all night long, Pam. So, it is what it is. I've actually been distracted by it a couple of times because I'm trying to like zap it. And I was finally successful. And I think I finally blocked it. But
we need to hire a zapper, Joe. That's what we need to do.
But so you talked about your show a little bit. But as we wrap up.
Yeah.
You talked about your show, but you didn't say when it drops. So why don't you do that real quick? Why don't you one more time tell everybody who you are, where to find you, and tell them about your show and when it drops on Buffalo Rumblings.
Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, I am on every single Friday. You can listen to me in the morning, listen to me in the evening, all day, every day after Friday hits. And yeah, I mean, literally, you can find me on Twitter at Buff Hub. I keep it very vanilla, very simple when it comes down to how you can find my content. I remember telling Anthony when I first started, I was thinking about doing the YouTube thing because that's kind of where I started. But I said, you know what? I really want to harness being informative. And being specific and just being simple for everyone to grab and latch onto my content. I just felt like I wasn't there yet. Maybe I'll get there. Maybe tonight was a step towards that again. But yeah, I'm only on audio as of right now on Buffalo Rumblings, on Spotify, you name it, every single platform. You can find me there every Friday.
Yep. I would tell you this. So last year I did four shows. I did the Overreaction postgame show. I did the John Fina, the Off Tackle John Fina show. I did the Hump Day Hotline, and I did the Time to Shine. Going into it, I was like, four is no problem. Even Bruce was like, four is a lot. I think Anthony reached out to me. Four is a lot. I'm like, no. I was like, the Overreaction show writes itself because it's a postgame show. I mean, I have to do an outline, but it writes itself.
Yeah.
Fina, I'm lobbing softballs at a former Buffalo Bills offensive lineman. Like that's like beautiful. That's wonderful work. The Hump Day Hotline, I get to hang around with my best friend, Jay Spence the King, and talk about the Bills for like an entire hour. And then Time to Shine, there's an aspect of like, it's just, I'm just bringing people on and they're doing all the work for me. I was like, it should be fine. This is going to be fine. Four is fine. Four was too much. Four shows were too much. So all that to say this, I don't want the Time to Shine to die this year, but I'm definitely not going to do it. So there might be an opportunity for you to, if you want to dip your toes into it, to do the Time to Shine. If not, I'd like to see if we can rotate it. I don't want the Time to Shine to go away. It's the only show of all the Bills content creation platforms where we're bringing on everybody in the chat over there. Like anybody that wants to come on can come on, and it's a call-in show just like we have on WGR 55 and all the radio stations. I would love to see that continue. I don't know if it will or not. I just know that I'm not committed to doing it every single week because four shows was too much. It was a lot.
That's why I say you're also a king, man. I mean, you just, I don't know, king the second. I don't know how to nickname you, but geesh.
Yeah. So nice. Richard Rush says, I'm going to miss Time to Shine. It's not going away, Richard. I'm going to do everything I can in my power to make sure that it stays. So we'll see. But ladies and gentlemen, you have been tuned into the Hump Day Hotline on the Buffalo Rumblings Vodcast Network. I am your host, Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wire. Tonight, sitting in for Jay Spence the King, my guy Steve Vega, who you can find on Twitter at Buff Hub. Any final words, any final thoughts, any final comments?
Hopefully, when I get to Buffalo one of these days, I know this is going to sound crazy, but it's the truth. Mm-hmm. I want to go to my first Buffalo Bills game in Buffalo. I have yet to be able, I can't make this up. Every single time I've tried, something has come up and it is, it drives me crazy for the last 3 years. It drives me nuts. But yes, I was really planning on doing a trip. And if I get out there, we are tailgating.
No, for
sure. I will be there.
You got it. For me,
there will be tables.
For me, for Steve Vega, for Jay Spence the King, for Buffalo Rumblings, go Bills. Say it. You got to say it.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.